You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns Backers Worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports. It includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit BrownsBackers.org. Vic and Nathan here with you on CBD on a Football Friday. And very pleased to welcome our buddy from CBSSports.com. Does a tremendous job on CBS Sports in general. The insider, the man, Jason Lockenfora. Hello, Jason.
What's going on, gentlemen? Can I start with a question?
You may.
Is Nathan Zagora going through angry lobster withdrawal?
I am.
I already know the answer to that. You know what? I already know the answer to that. I just want to hear it.
Yeah, it's sad but true. I'm missing our Saturday nights, bro. I know.
It's good to be home with the family, though.
It is.
As much as I like a night out with Zagora and his band of motley friends who come in from the greater Cleveland area from time to time, good to get some time with the kiddos on Saturday.
He's got a very impressive entourage, and it's wide ranging. I mean, from the
ever,
world of WWE.
Do they just show up sometimes? And just
sometimes
like
they drop
sit
in.
Down in the studio and crack a beer in the middle of the Bears facility.
Yes.
The Browns facility, and just do that thing.
Yeah. They drop it. They probably drop in the Bears facility too. Wherever the hell Nathan goes, they're there. Jason, got to ask you this, because of this coaching staff being put together now, 11 members of Mike Pettine's staff, and we really wanted to get caught up with you. I guess I want to start, before we start with the coordinators, I want to start with the whole Mike Pettine thing and how you feel this team, only 11 months after hiring one coach and now bringing in another guy, is this the guy that can bring in, with Pettine, bring in that immediacy of improvement that this team has got to have?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if everybody knew exactly who that guy was and they had a crystal ball, the process might have gone a little differently. Certainly that's what everybody's hoping, but I think you hit on it, Vic. It's the element of time. This wasn't a hire made to hope everything blossoms in 2016 and we'll make a baby step this year and gel a little bit in 15 and then, boy, look out. No, I mean, you fire a coach after 1 year, you're sending a signal that even with the quarterback issues and the injuries and whatnot, 4-12 and playing in what still is a pretty tough division, 4-12 simply was not good enough. And this team, they want to see incremental progress week to week, month to month, first half of the season and second half of the season. That's what was lacking last year, and that's why we saw such a dramatic reshaping of the coaching staff. You know, I love what they did in the draft last year. I think they're positioned to get better personnel. They've got an owner who seems committed to spend, and they've got plenty of cap space. Not that free agency is the end-all and be-all in football, and usually it's fool's gold, but if you're calculated about it and you hit a few things, you can get better quickly. Obviously, the draft has to be their lifeblood. We'll see what they flip that Trent Richardson pick into. Should be an immediate starter and an impact guy. So, you know, this is a league where you can get better quickly, but, can I be the guy to tell you that, yeah, Mike Pettine's going to be their coach the next 10 years, their coaching woes are over, and this guy is the catch meow? I don't think any of us know that yet.
No, we certainly do not know that yet, and as he says, nobody knows that. Only time will tell, and action, the talk is cheap. Kyle Shanahan, a guy who's been a pretty successful coordinator, though, in the league for 6 years now. He joins the staff. Talk about what the impact you think of that hire on the Cleveland Browns.
I like that hire. I was pretty tough on Kyle down the stretch in Washington, and there were a lot of mistakes made there. And that was a bad dynamic with him and his dad, and then the Don McNabb stuff and RG3. And there were a lot of, you know, interpersonal politics and a lot of things that just didn't click there, and it was tricky. It was a bit of a minefield, and some people stepped on some landmines. I think Kyle certainly matured from that. I think getting out of his dad's shadow is huge, even being out of Gary Kubiak's shadow now, too, because in Houston, a lot of people were like, well, yeah, he's not working for his dad, but he's working for the guy his dad created. So, you know, it's like half a degree of separation. So I think being his own man, you know, stepping out of that shadow, really getting in a situation to put, you know, it's not that he didn't have his stamp all over that thing in Washington, but I just think here you don't have your dad as a head coach. There's nothing to focus on other than your side of the ball. Clearly they've got some things to do at the quarterback situation. I think you'll be good. I think he'll be good, and it'll be very interesting to see if he does end up with a Johnny Manziel-type quarterback, someone with an RG3 skill set, maybe someone who proves to be a little more durable, maybe someone who proves to be a little more drama-free, and then we'll have to see. Not that Manziel didn't have his share of drama in college, although he did senior year, he did seem, or his junior year, his final year, he did seem to stay relatively out of any kind of serious scrutiny. We'll see. I think Kyle can work with a bunch of different quarterbacks, and that offense, when it's rolling, when the boot action is there, when the misdirection is there, when you're getting the tight end as involved as we've seen him do in the past, when you also got the ability to get the ball deep, I mean, you can just start to see. I mean, Cameron is kind of in that mold of what we saw from Owen Daniels in the past and some of the numbers he had. You look at Josh Gordon and you see the Andre Johnson, right? I mean, they don't have the running back yet, but God knows you can find those guys in the draft, and the Browns have plenty of ammo to do it. So you can start to make the case that this thing comes together offensively maybe a little quicker than it had in the past.
Jason
if
Lockett.
If you get a quarterback, if that caveat being said, if you get a quarterback.
Jason Lockett for CBS Sports joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jason, I want to back up a little bit. I want you to get into with Kyle Shanahan for us as much as you can. Where did it go wrong in those relationships with Donovan McNabb and then the problems with RG3, especially this past season? And you, because you said it was about maturing and learning. So what was he doing from his end that didn't work? And what do you think he's learned and taken away from it and will now apply in Cleveland?
I think he's been humbled. I think that's probably the best way to put it, is he's been humbled. And this was the guy who brought a lot of young coaches over with him from that Houston staff, and some of the veteran coaches in Washington thought they lacked a little bit of maturity, thought some of their antics, things that were said and done on the practice field, on the bus ride back from games at times, left a little bit to be desired. A lot of people there felt like, I had people say, the way that they coached RG3, you would think he was a JV quarterback at times, that maybe there was a little too much of an expectation that, guys are just going to fit your system and there's not going to be any brushback or there's not going to be any exchange of ideas. And, when you're working with a young Matt Schaub, when you're working with a John Beck, when you're working with a Rex Grossman, who's just happy to be in the league as a system guy, then, yeah, he's going to be a human remote control. He's going to be a joystick, and you can just work him from the sidelines. When you're getting a Donovan McNabb after his career in Philadelphia, or you're getting an RG3 who has the injury concerns and has a father who's very strong-willed and has, some of his own ideas, and you're trying to figure things out on the fly, then there might be a little more of an exchange of ideas. There might be a little bit more of a forthright attitude from the quarterback as to what's best for him in any given period of time, and a lot of that's natural. I'm not sure how much of that Kyle had to deal with in the past, but certainly for him and his father, it was, I mean, obviously the interpersonal dynamics with McNabb and RG3 were national news stories. So I don't think there's anybody who could try to couch that as anything other than, situations that failed. Certainly McNabb was an abject failure there. And the second year with RG3 was pretty much a failure, in more ways than not. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I just, talking to people who were kind of close to Kyle and kind of been around him this offseason, I mean, there was definitely a sense that he had to get out of Washington, that thing had run its course, and that he might be a little different person moving forward.
Jay, as we get towards the combine and the draft talk really heating up, it seems like the hype machine around Johnny Manziel has picked up steam, going as the number one pick in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft and in some others. What is your take right now on John Football, and what are you hearing from around the league about where his stock sits at this point in the process?
I think there's a very good chance he's the number one pick, whether it's through Houston or through trade. I don't think he's getting out of the first couple of picks. I don't see that happening. Again, whether through trade or not, as this kid continues to spend time around owners and they see the charming side of him and they get to know him a little bit on whatever level you can get to know these kids over the course of a few months, when you see him in the combine, I just tell you, he's bigger than people think. He's bigger than Russell Wilson. He's His hands are bigger than Russell Wilson's. I mean, not that Russell's small. Russell's got very big hands for his size. But when all the metrics come out, when they see exactly how big this kid's feet is, when they see exactly how big his hands are, when they see exactly how what his physique is like, when they see what he benches, when they see how fast he runs, when he does all these drills, the cone drills and all the various throwing drills, and you go back and watch the tape, I think it's going to be too much for people to pass on. I really do. I spent a lot of time with Gil Brandt around the Super Bowl, and Johnny's name would come up in our conversation. He's completely sold on him. I've talked to people around that campus who say early in his career at A&M, they made him go through every position drill. So not just quarterback drills, all nine position groups, he went through every single drill. I'm talking defensive tackle drills. And what I was told is he was in the top five or six at every single position.
Wow.
So you're talking about a freak of nature athlete, okay? You're talking about a guy who goes in there with corners and he's in the top three of all their corners in these drills. Agility, speed. I mean, then you're talking about a guy who's lifting with defensive linemen and he's not out of the, you know, he's in the top five or six. I just think he and then you leaders, the more they talk to the kids who are around that program, I just, and how cheap he's going to come, boy, if he falls, that would be to me the shocker of all shockers.
Wow. Great stuff from you, Jason. We appreciate it, and we look forward to catching up with you many times in the future.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, brother, come to Cleveland. We'll get an Angry Lobster.
Can you get them there? Oh, you get it flown in.
We can get it. There are ways.
I want in on that. That's good. Jason Lockenfor, CBS Sports. And we have got much more coming up. Of course, Gerard Cherry going to make his regular visit to this show next on CBD.